All right, welcome back, everyone. Here we go. We are holding in class four in this episode, episode 33, in Key to Redemption in Our Hands. This class is called Wake Up. Moshiach is here. We're talking, we had a phenomenal class number three, really important to listen to, in which we were talking about the idea that Moshiach is referred to in prayers. We connect, and in the writings of the sages, we connect Moshiach to the new moon, the whole celebration of Rosh Chodesh, which is the first day of the Hebrew month, which we connect it to. The fact that there is a new moon is a very exciting phenomenon because it represents the rejuvenation and the renewal of the moon, which is symbolic of the resurgence and reemergence of the Jewish people as a powerful force in the world. And Moshiach, the kingdom of David, the kingdom of the king of the household of David, his reemergence after so many years of decline and concealment. So we asked earlier in class number three, the question was asked, and it was already posed in the end of class number two, why do we celebrate the moment of the birth? Shouldn't we wait for the full development as the moon continues to grow until it reaches, which was today. Today was the 15th day of the month. So till it reaches the 15th day of the month, till it reaches its full light. And the answer that we had discussed in last class is that the main novelty of Moshiach is not in his light, but rather what Moshiach represents, and that is the emergence, the revelation of the essence. What does that mean? The essence of God being revealed. That has never happened in all of history. Although we've had flashes of divine revelation, and sometimes not just flashes, but extensive periods of times in which God was revealed to the world, like in the times of the temples, times of the time of the Exodus, the time that we traveled through the desert for 40 years, the beautiful moments in history, the great glorious moment in Jewish history in which God was very, very much revealed to the world. So we discussed, the idea is that all of those revelations were never the essence of God. God was projecting something about himself, his talent, his abilities, his strengths, his greatness, his compassion, his caring, his love, his benevolence, his light, his glory, his kingship, his majesty, whatever you want to say about about Hashem, it was something about him that was being revealed. And that is the idea of light. And in that, yeah, the moon keeps on getting brighter and brighter. These are the lights, and meaning the revelations, the about God, but not God himself. The greatness of the coming of Mashiach is that after all the work and after all the labors that we have done within the darkness, during the times of concealments, which required enormous sacrifice and enormous stubbornness, if you might say, determination. After all the work that we've done, we make this world into a place that becomes as God desired it. God desired a home. And the idea of a home is not where your talents can reside. A home is not a place where you have a stage and you perform your talent shows. That's not a home. That you can have a studio for, that you can have an office for, a hall, a concert hall, whatever it is, where you can display your talents. A home is a place where you yourself come and live. And when Mashiach comes, God himself, as he truly is, beyond all his names, beyond all his features, beyond all his lights, beyond all his brightest projections, it's not about that. It is God's very self. And we discussed earlier, and that's like a child knows God. When the child, a little child, says God, the child is referring just the simple God, nothing about God, because the child doesn't have a developed mind to start philosophizing and sophisticating. and exploring the sophistications. So it's just God himself. And that's what's going to be revealed when Mashiach comes. And the vessel and the container, or the matching, how we match God when God reveals his essence, what do we bring to God so to connect to when God moves into this world with his entire essence? We bring our own essence. We relate to God from our essence, not from any of our beautiful aspects of who we are. We're not displaying or showing God or meeting him, engaging with him through any aspect of our spiritual abilities. The relationship is not about anything about us, and it's not about anything about God. It's just us and him. The very fact that he is, and the fact that we are there. God wants just us, nothing about us. He wants to be with us, and we want to be with him. And when Mashiach comes, together we are together, he and us. And in that sense, the fact that we appear, that we show up, that's more important than the way we look. It's infinitely important the way we sound, or the way we appear. All of that, or what we do, or what we say, or what we're thinking. It's the fact that we came, and it's the fact that God is here. That's essence to essence. That's the novelty of Mashiach. And that's why it's not expressed in the revelations of the moon. Second day, the third day, more light. Well, that's all projection. Light is revelation. We're talking about the substance. However, the point of Mashiach is the substance revealed. That means there's a revelation of it. If it's concealed, God is everywhere all the time. The point is that he has himself revealed. He moves in here in a revealed way. But when he's revealing himself, it's he himself that is revealing himself, not anything about him. And to us, it means, and our end, is that when we rise to greet him, we're greeting him not with any parts of ourselves, not with our mind, not with our beautiful and refined emotions, not with even our desire to be close to him, not even with our self-transcendence and sacrifices we're willing to make for him. That is everything about us. Very deep and very noble and very high and very beautiful and very godly. But when it comes to God himself, that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for you. You, you. And you means you. And that includes everything about you. So that's what's amazing. When God wants to be with us, it's not a particular aspect of us. It's us. And that's everything. That's our spiritual and our physical. And it's a spiritual, isn't our soul isn't any more us than our body. It's together, body and soul. It's everything about us. And therefore, this connection that we have to God in the framework or in the experience within the messianic era is constant, and it's in all. It's not relegated to particular experiences in our lives. It's every second of everything, because it becomes the truth of every element of our life is our bond with him, from the most physical of actions, like cleaning, brushing your teeth, or using a toothpick, right? That's like as mundane and as earthy and as, you know, unimpressive as it is. But it's like when you're crazy, crazy infatuated with someone. Let's hope that's, we love our spouse, our wife and a wife loving her husband, a husband loving their wife, and they really love each other. They reach to a point in their relationship where it's not anything about each other. It's just the fact that they are together. It's the two of them being together, nothing about them, just the them. So what does it excite me? I get excited to spend time with my wife whether she is serving me dinner, whether she is out, you know, going for a walk with me, whether we are, you know, playing chess, or whether we're both just chilling around, whether we're having a intellectual discussion, whether we're having a, I don't know, whatever, it doesn't even make a difference. It's just that I'm excited that my wife is home. I'm excited that she's with me. I'm not alone, I'm with her. What she's wearing, what she's saying, what she's doing. She's wearing makeup, she's not wearing makeup, she's wearing, you know, this, she's wearing that. Doesn't make a difference. It's not about it, and it's not like you don't enjoy the good meal, or you don't enjoy the company, or you don't enjoy the humor, and you don't, yeah, you're enjoying everything about, you're enjoying her sound advice, you're enjoying her humor, you're enjoying her smile, you're enjoying, but what are you enjoying most about it is that it's her, not anything about her. Is that it's her that dominates in every aspect of it. It's the fact that you are. And in our relationship with God, it's the fact that we're in a relationship. And in that, God is everything and in everywhere. And we're so excited to be in his world that he is the reality of everything. And in that moment, we're excited about every second in existence. And our connection to God doesn't require any type of kind of conditioning. Because if I'm excited about the very, very essence of God, who is responsible for everything, then I'm in connection with him everywhere and in everything, every moment. And I'm not even getting, and all the stuff that he's producing are like so crazy, beautiful and wonderful and spectacular, and I can marvel at it. But that's not what I'm excited so much about, the wisdom, the intelligence, the awesomeness of this and the awesomeness of that, the awesomeness of the sunset, or the awesomeness of the snow-capped mountains, or the beautiful ocean, or the powerful river that I'm watching, or just a plain alleyway that is dark, maybe even some garbage hanging around. Because it's not about anything. It's about the fact that God is responsible and he's the substance of everything, and I'm with him right now. That's the Mashiach consciousness. It's I'm with him. And he is crazy excited because he is with us. So it's all the time in everything. The Rebbe that we discussed last time, in last week, that there is a moment where a notch lower than this. The notch lower than this is when you're not in touch with essence. When we're still functioning or connecting to the pre-Mashiach, what we might say. So then the highest moment is a moment when we're so excited or so devoted to God's greatness and to God's awesomeness and to God's, right? And then what? Then we are willing to completely, so what would you say? Forgo on ourselves. Forgo on ourselves completely, because we don't want to be stuck in our definitions and our boundaries and our limitations. And we just want to give ourselves over to God. But that is an indication that you're not tapping essence. Because if there is still a desire to get somewhere and to go out and to experience, means we're looking still for the experience of God. The excitement is not God himself, but the experience of God. And the experience of God, yeah, The experience of God is more in the soul than in the body. The experience of God is more in transcendental meditations than in living in time and space. The experience. So when we are experience driven, that means we're being driven and we're appreciating and we're connecting to the something about God. And then where is that coming from? That's coming from not from our essence. It's coming from the experience of our essence, from the experience of our deepest selves. And that's why we're seeking a relationship with God, but not the core essence itself, because the core essence is connecting to essence, and the essence of God is not relegated to anything and to any particular space, but yet is responsible and is the force that is the substance of everything. Because we all understand that without God's essence, there is no God power. Obviously, God's power is all coming from God's essence. And without God's power, there is no creation. So ultimately, everything is leaning on, everything is a product, if you can say. Everything is a consequence of the fact that God is. So then the is of God is truth, is the substance, is the ultimate substance of all of reality. And then it's not possible ever to be, if we're aware of that and we're connected to that, when we're fully comfortable in our existence, there's no like feeling of I have to be that or go here or go there or have this or have that. It's like the difference of, you know, you can go away on a vacation and your real drive in going away on the vacation is the experience of the vacation. So you really, really want to experience, you want to go to a beautiful place. You want to go with your wife. You want to go with your husband. You want to go to a beautiful place. So then you're kind of concerned very much, like, what are you doing? Are we out on the boat? Are we hiking? Are we skiing? Are we doing this? Are we doing that? And then you need to do things together. You need to do exciting things. And yeah, of course, you appreciate the company because you don't want to do it with anybody else but with the one you love so much. But you're still concerned about what you're doing because you're still concerned about the experience of it. But a much higher vacation or a much higher bond, yeah, you want to go away because you don't want to have the distraction. Because it's not like God was everything. Your spouse is not everywhere and everything. There are other things that are distracting. So when you want to be able to focus on each other, then once you're away, you don't care about anything. There's nothing in the world that you need to do. You don't have to stroll on the beach. I just want to be with you. And that's all that matters. Nothing about being with you, just being with you. So then the entire experience is exactly the same. From the moment you're in the car on the way to the airport or driving, to the most serene, beautiful, incredible, you know, mind-blowing, beautiful moment when you're watching something so spectacular and so amazing. So what is that? There's no difference. There's no difference because your excitement is up with you, and that is what the Rebbe is saying is Mashiach. Mashiach is the awakening of our essence, appreciating the essence of God for all of eternity and experiencing his essence, yes, through his features. Then we will see his essence and his beauty and his magnificence that everything will open up for us and we will see the divine reality behind everything. And then everything, you know, will be so rich and so deep and so meaningful. But what is overshadowing everything is the fact that it is that it is God. So the Rebbe in last week's and in last class that we discussed yesterday, he spoke about us experiencing that is kind of the moment we wake up in the morning, even before we begin to say our prayer, before we say Moda Ani. Moda Ani is the first prayer in which we're thanking God for giving us life. And in a sense, we are committing ourselves to be in gratitude to God and to serve God the entire day. That's the point. I recognize my life is not generated by myself. I recognize you gave me back my soul. And because of that, I will direct my day in your service. So we learned yesterday that's like the highest moment of prayer. Even though you don't really have much understanding, because you woke up now, you didn't have time yet to allow your mind and your spiritual thinking to kick in. You didn't have any time yet to develop a study something, learn something, open up your mind and your understanding. It's just waking up and saying, thank you, God, for my soul. So we were learning that is the highest level of connection. But yesterday we learned that is not the highest level of connection. That's the way we understood things. That's the highest level of connection before Mashiach comes. But once Mashiach is here, there is a much deeper level of connection that we can appreciate. And what is that? That is the moment we wake up. Before we can even utter even the first thank you to God for giving us life, the moment we wake up. And if we can be cognizant of that moment, here's the thing, at the time it's a very blurry moment, but if we can be cognizant of that moment, be aware of that moment and recognize just the thought, I am, I'm alive, I'm here, and recognize I'm here as a God, as a piece of God. I'm here as a piece of God in this world to emanate God into this world. Through the unique gift that I have, which is my soul, which is a piece of God and God's very essence. And the truth is, even my body, as we discussed many times, that physicality is most connected to God's essence. So just the fact that all this you can't process immediately in the morning, but what you could process at that first second is, I'm here. And again, we can wake up as I am here, just like the shell of myself is here. And then I'm thinking about, you know, pancakes for breakfast, French toast. Or I am here in God's creation, in God's world. And I'm here as a human being. I'm here as a Jew. To be present as God in this world. That's essence. That's before everything. Nothing more. There's nothing about, it's not considering anything about what I did yesterday, what I achieved, what I'm planning to do today, what's my achievements, what I'm going to do. All that is unnecessary. Although that is not the point right now. The point is the very fact that I am. Within the context that this world is God's world and an expression of the divine essence. When I'm saying already Moda Ani, I'm already and submitting myself, that's already a step into expression. That's already getting into an expression of my God, of the fact that I am. Higher than expressing that I am and thankful for being is being itself. In a sense, you know, what the Rebbe really is talking about, as I understand, is even prior to you being cognizant of what's happening. Later he says in the talk, so therefore, to activate Mashiach in this world, we can today's days make the effort to catch this moment. It's almost like it's almost like the moment you're catching it, you're a little bit already going away from it because it's already the experience of essence. However, if you can kind of snap a picture at that moment of the emergence of when you're asleep, it's as if we don't exist, and now we emerged into existence, the moment of birth. So one of the things we didn't say in last class was that the Modani that we say. Now, in a sense, the Modani, which is our first prayer, is a continuation of the essence. That's why the Modani is, as we discussed yesterday, it doesn't become, you can't contaminate it. Even when your hands are impure, you can say it because it's coming from a place deeper than the part of ourselves that is engaged in the world. It's very, we're talking about the core of the soul itself that is never contaminated. It is always godly. However, so therefore the Modani is in general, it is a continuation of this level. Although in this particular talk is where the Rebbe is revealing that the Modani is already a drop. It's stepping down from a higher state, which is the moment of waking up. This is total opposite of the way we've always appreciated Judaism and always appreciate. It's almost like there's no worth from just being. What are you going to do for yourself? Show us something. You know, you wake up in the morning, you're just like a cow. You're an animal. You're nothing. Let's see. Oh, you'll open up your consciousness. You'll think about God. And then in the morning, when your mind is still croggy, so the prayer that you're saying, I'm talking about conventional wisdom. That's not this messianic teachings. It's not Mashiach. Before the Rebbe comes and Hasidus comes and flips everything on its head. So when we go back and see things from a more conventional state, it's like you wake up in the morning and what's there? Just a human being who, imagine if we don't credit you for anything for yesterday. So we're just starting right now. What is it? Nothing. So you are. So what is? And now, oh, so in a moment, you stop for a moment and you focus. Before you wake up and you say, acknowledge God that you gave me back my soul, the more intention we have in it, the more we can bring ourselves to feel gratitude, and the more you can bring yourself into a state of commitment to God. Oh, now is when there is some spirituality. It's almost like you wake up very dark, and now is when a little bit of light starts illuminating. You're beginning to shine. But from the conventional wisdom, being that it's very unsophisticated, it's very not detailed yet, because as we said, you don't have an appreciation of who God is because you just woke up. So it's a very limited light. It's a very low level light. It's not as bright. Then you move into the more to as you start your day. We say the daily blessings, which is more of you're bringing more spiritual light into your consciousness. And then you start the prayers, and you're doing already particular mitzvot. If you're a man, you're putting on the tefillin and the talit. And you're going through the various stages of prayer, which is meant to lead a person through various different levels of meditation, of the divine expansion of divine consciousness through the various words of prayers. You're climbing through the spiritual worlds, expanding your holy consciousness. So you're becoming brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. So you're reaching the highest levels of brightness. That's the modem that we've always appreciated throughout all of Judaism. And then your value is what you've done and what you've experienced and how much refinement you have and how elevated all the stuff we do. In this talk, the Rebbe is turning it all upside down. He says, no. When we are analyzing things from a Mashiach perspective, which means from the revelation of essence, we start off from a whole different zone. You're starting off that we start with God's essence. And to us, as it relates to each and every one of us, our essence. The essence of our soul is literally one with God himself, with God's essence. when you're waking up into consciousness from sleeping, and you're waking up as a godly being. Now, what do you mean you're waking up as a godly? You're waking up. If life is sacred and meaningful, and you recognize your truth of your existence is your divine soul. So yeah, when you wake up, your divine soul, which is a piece of God, is now here. Now, anything that will now emanate from this divine soul will only be a ray of it, will only be a projection, will only be a quality, will only be a talent, will only be an emanation of it. It's not it. And therefore, nothing in the world can compare to the holiness and the godliness and the greatness. I don't even want to call it holy, because holiness and greatness and all these are all terms. And here we're talking about the level, the essence, which is not captured in any term. So that is the highest, I don't even know which word to use. That is, I'm just using greater because I have no other term. That is infinitely greater to anything that will follow. Then, when you're saying the Moda Ani, the essence is shining, is projecting light. You're experiencing, the reason why you have no sophistication is not because you're lower than sophistication, because on the deepest soul truth, the what you are conveying, the part of you that's speaking, is higher than any type of logic or any type of sophistication. Its connection to God is not because it knows and understands God, it's much deeper than that, because it is one with God. And that's why you're just saying, I thank you, God. I, who is the real I, my soul. And I acknowledge in front of you, who we're also in Moldani, we don't say any of God's names, because names are already qualities. That's already much, much later. That's already further out, far more external. Now it's the essence of us with the essence of God being expressed. Modani. So the Rebbe says an interesting thing in the footnote, that Moda, the numeric value of the word Moda is 55, which is the same value as the word Hain. Nun Hei, Hain. Hain, you might be familiar, Hain means them. There's a verse that says, Hain am levadad yishkon. Behold, Hain is from the word, I'm sorry, not them. It's part of the word Hine. Hine would be more like behold. So Hain am levadad yishkon means, behold, they are a nation that sits alone. It's one of the words. It's the one of the blessings that Bilam, the evil prophet, uttered when he wanted to curse, but God passed blessings through his mouth. He says, behold, they are a people that levadad yishkon, they live alone. The meaning of this is so clear today's days. The Jewish people are a nation that sits alone. Alone meaning they're not. They stand out from amongst the nations. Stand out from amongst the nations. Not in all parts of civilization. Not in all today's days, because we're close to Mashiach, some of this has changed. But at least to a very great degree, you know, when we look at the world today and we see what happened on October 7th, especially, for example, there is a big outcry amongst Jewish women and Jewish and Israeli women who can't, for whatever reason, wrap their minds around, after the worst atrocities were done to women that are unspeakable and incomprehensible, yet the women organizations across the world, beginning with the women rights and women protection organizations in the UN and the Me Too movement of America and across the world, for some reason cannot get themselves to condemn the horrors that were done to women. It's as if Jewish women are just not, you know, God forbid, permitted to be violated, permitted to be mistreated. You stand for women, you fight for women, you're going to do whatever you can, but doesn't apply to the Jewish women, which is outrageous. That's why Bilam said the Jewish people are a nation that stand alone. They're alone. But God says, you know, don't be lonely. I'm your partner. And that's why Bilam continues, "Ubagoyim lo yischashav." They're not counted amongst the nations. They stand on an island to themselves. So the verse says, the opening words of this verse is the word hain. Hain, as we said earlier, is made up of two letters, hey and nun. So the Midrash says that if you take a look at every letter in the alphabet, in the alphabet, every single letter has a partner. The aleph partners up with the tes. Aleph is 1, tes is 9. So aleph and tes together equals 10. Beis partners up with the ches. Beis and ches together, which beis is 2 and ches is 8, together is 10. Gimel partners up with the zayin. The dalet partners up with the vav. The hey, which is number 5. In other words, if we can put it into numbers, I'm going to take away the Hebrew from it. 1 partners with 9, 2 with 8, 3 with 7, 4 and 6. 5 is isolated, alone. Now, the Hebrew alphabet repeats itself first in 1, single digits, and then it goes into double digits and triple digits. So for this, the second set is the letter Chaf is 20, and the letter Tzadik is 90. So Chaf and Tzadik, which is 20, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Yud, which is 10, and Tzadik, which is 90. So Yud and Tzadik match up. It's already double digits, but 10 and 90 match up, and they make 100. Chaf and Pei is 20 and 80, get married, and they make 100. Lamed and Ayin, Lamed is 30, Ayin is 70. Get married to each other, make 100. Mem, which is 40, and Samach, which is 60, unify, together you have 100. So 10 and 90, 20 and 80, 30 and 70, 40 and 60. But what stands alone? The nun. The nun is 50. Doesn't have a partner. So the 5 doesn't have a partner and the nun doesn't have a partner. That spells the word hain. And what is that? So God says to Israel, says to the Jewish people, you live alone. You know why? You don't have a partner. No other nation will. People will help you over here, help you over there, but to really identify with you and to really consider you as one, you're sitting in isolation. As we see, for some reason, the murder of Jews doesn't matter. And God says, but it matters to me. And it matters to me more than anything else in the world because I am one with you. So therefore, the Rebbe says, Modan. So what are we talking about over here? We're talking about over here of the essence of the Jewish soul. The essence, the quintessence of the Jewish soul. That's the hain. And that's why when you're saying Modan Ani, Modani is the numeric value of 55. It's the expression of this essence. Now, when is this Hain, this essence of the soul, it's expressed in the Moda, when we say Moda Ani, because Moda Ani is giving revelation to this indescribable core of the soul that connects to the essence of God, as we said earlier, beyond God's name. But when is it even stronger than the Moda? Because as we said earlier, Moda is already an articulation. When is it even stronger than that? It is stronger than that the moment we wake up. And that's why there is another verse that Bilam says, when he's speaking of the Jewish people, he says, Hain kelavi yakum. Behold, they wake up like a young lion. Again, he uses the word Hain. About what? About the moment they wake up. They wake up, and Rashi says, commentary. Rashi says it means when they wake up in the morning, they leap up and they grab the mitzvot. They go and they put on they pray, and they put on their tzitzit, their talis, and they put on the tefillin. And so it means they wake up like a lion. But what is the idea behind it? It means that everything that we are doing throughout the day, all the mitzvot that we are doing throughout the day, is all being driven by something of the subconscious and something of the subconscious, which is the very, very substance of the essence of the soul itself. Which is one with God. And that's the reason why it will later throughout the day manifest as a gravitation to be godly, to do all whatever God wants. But it's not that because you're doing all those godly things, that's why you're making an attachment with God. It's the opposite. Because you have a Hain, because you have that, because the nucleus of your soul that is one with Him, so when that emerges, you open up the doorways, you bore holes in your, through prayer and the like, to allow for the substance of your soul to peek through and thereby bring us to all the mitzvahs. But again, where is the Hain the most strongest? The moment you wake up. And that's your Mashiach. That's the Mashiach of your soul. Now imagine being able to live with this awareness, consciousness, and purity of essence ongoing, and it doesn't stop. In other words, to be tuned into the essence. Generally, what happens is there is an essence, but we drift away from the essence. We move out into externalities. So Mashiach's coming is the revelation of the essence of God. Our receiving of Mashiach is the revelation of our own essence, and that's the Mashiach inside of us. And that's why the main idea of the coming of Mashiach, as we said before, is the moment of the birth of the moon. Because that's when you have the fact that the moon is, not anything about it, not its light yet. It emerged, it's here. But as we were learning in the talk, we were learning that the month of Kislev is, from all the months, the third month of the Hebrew calendar is the most important month. Why? Because in the month of Kislev, the quality of the month is that when the essence is revealed, it continuously is present, even as we move into the talents, the expressions, the revelations, we're never disconnecting from the essence. We're seeing every talent and every revelation and every experience as a continuation and another prism and another facet for the essence of who you are to shine in a different way, in a unique way. Because that purity of the moment of looking at your child, the first moment the child is born, goes away for most people once your child gets a little older and you're excited about your child, not because this is my child, but because first when they're a little baby, they're cute and now they're delightful. And now when they get a little older, they're so smart. And now they're so special because of this and so special because of that, which means revelations and expressions cover and conceal the fact that this is my child. The purity of bond between parent and child is at that first second is capturing something that goes away or could go away the rest of the life during the further development stages. So the beauty of the month of Kislev means like this, that the moment when the case means the concealed moon is being born into revelation doesn't end at the moment of the birth, but through the entire, it's almost like a parent whose child excels and becomes the, let's say, president of the United States. Imagine a parent who's been watching their child, you know, grow and make it through the ranks and then been elected as the most powerful person in the world. But, you know, not going into the, whether you like the president, don't like the president, but the office of that motion. Imagine the pleasure and the delight of a mother, a father standing by the inauguration when the president steps up and takes the oath. And they're standing and watching. So imagine if it's not, of course they're proud, and of course they're awed and they're flawed, but imagine, you know, the depth of it is, this is my child, that's it, it's mine. President, oath, this, inauguration, most powerful person in the world, what you've become, my child. Oh, pretty awesome. My child is the president. That's pretty awesome. My child won the Olympics. It's my child. Hold on to the essence of it. It's the fact that you are, not anything about. That's the depth over here. Kislev is to keep mindful of the essence of the bond, even when we go into the various different levels of light. We get into 36, as we discussed. Lamed Vav means 36. 36 is the full range of the development of all aspects of the soul. Maintaining the connection to the essence. In the words of the Rebbe, let me read it over here, which is very powerful. He says, it's not only this, as we said earlier, the essence, however, continues and comes into full revelation, which means that even in the level of the revelations, for example, as we discussed earlier, as it applies to the moon, when the moon continues to shine its light, we continue to sense the essence that's above and beyond the revelations. What does that mean in simple words? That at the time of the coming of Mashiach, it will be seen in the literal and in the most tangible revealed way, the true existence of Israel, of the Jewish people. What will be seen? it will be visible, the essence of the soul that is one with God's very, very essence. Like the Zohar says, Yisrael v'kodesh b'richu chad hu, Israel and God are absolutely one. Now, does that mean that there won't be anything to say about anybody other than the fact that you're one with God? No. This will show itself in all the special qualities and beautiful aspects of our being. That means that the essence will shine in all the names of the soul. We said earlier that a soul has five names, which means five levels. But in all these five levels, it won't be just lights or emanations of the soul. It will be seen as the essence of the soul finding expression in this particular manner. One will be in touch with their own essence in the pleasure of their soul, in the desire of the soul, in the intelligence of the soul, in the emotions of the soul, even thought, speech, and action, which means even external behavior, will be saturated with essence. Not only will it be seen in the soul, but it will even be manifest and seen in the physical body. We will see ourselves, and the entire world will see how unified and one the Jewish people are with God. And through the Jewish people, God will be present and revealed and connecting to all of humanity and all of the world. As the Rebbe continues, in our physical body, in all of our, even in our 248 limbs and 365 arteries, you will sense the essence of the soul that is one with the essence of God. So the essence is coming out and infusing everything. That's Mashiach. So the month of Kislev. So every month, Rosh Chodesh. Let's go back. Every month, Rosh Chodesh, which is a pivotal moment of the month, the moon, which is representing Israel, the Jewish people, coming from exile where they're sleeping, like the moon is not in the sky when it's dark, into birth, into revelation. So that represents this revelation of the essence of Israel. And again, the essence of God coming forth. But in the other months of the year, you can kind of see the essence for a second, and then it can get concealed and covered up by the expressions and by the revelation. And then you become excited about the talent and not the fact that you have the talent, just the talent itself. I it's almost like I couldn't care less about you. I don't love you. I love your talents. So you can, that's meaning getting caught up in the light, not in the emanator of the light. The novelty of the month of Kislev is that the substance of the very person, in this case, a person who is one with God, so that's that divine substance creeps out and is sensed and is felt and is not divorceable from any feature and any expression and any illumination. The illumination is connected to the source of the illumination, and that is very much present and felt in the illumination. So now the Rebbe says, if this is the quality of the month of Kislev that makes it so special, that the essence burrows through and remains present through and through in all aspects of it, you can see that in the holidays of the month of Kislev as well. What are the holidays of the month of Kislev? We have Hanukkah, and we have the 19th of Kislev that we spoke about yesterday in the class last night. Both these holidays are holidays associated with oil. Hanukkah is a very bright holiday. We light the menorah. But what do we light with? You can light with candles, but the real mitzvah, the best way to do it is with oil, with olive oil, because that's the way it was done in the temple. That's the relationship of Hanukkah with oil. The other holiday, which is where we're celebrating this Shabbos, the 19th of Kislev, is also a holiday of oil, because it's the day of the revelation of these deepest secrets of the Torah, these secrets that we're talking about now, the secrets of the Torah, which is the essence of the Torah. Now, mystically, the essence of the Torah, the secrets of the Torah, is called the oil of the Torah. The Torah is compared by our sages to various different types of food. Water, Torah is called in scripture water. Torah is also referred to as wine. Wine are the secrets of the Torah. But then there is even deeper than the secrets of the secrets. And that is Hasidism, which is revealed on the 19th of Kislev, the oil. So both Hanukkah and the 19th of Kislev, which are the holidays of the month of Kislev, the Rebbe says are connected with oil. What's the relationship of oil to all of this? Oil is essence. That's why you can find oil in everything. And the thing about oil is very interesting. Oil has two opposite features. One feature of oil is that it remains separate from everything. If you try to mix oil with anything, oil will always flow to the top. So what does that indicate? Essence cannot be defined by anything. So if you mix it with anything, it remains separated. Because if I want to like capture the essence of something, generally we always get lost in the descriptions. The essence is elusive. You can't touch it, you can't describe it. That's why this is one of my hardest classes I've ever given. I'm trying to explain or connect to myself, not just trying to explain to others. I'm trying to connect to myself to ideas of essence with the mind, with the intelligence. Now the intelligence is clearly a projection. It's light. It's not essence. So to be able to talk about with your mind about essence, and we're struggling, you feel like it's, I'm like frustrated with this class, because I feel like, you know, is it really coming out? Am I really getting somewhere? Essence remains elusive. It remains above everything. But at the same time, oil, if you pour oil into something, oil burrows through in everything. If you mix oil, it'll get it. As the sages say, the term "shana mefafeya b'chol davar," oil bubbles in everything. So it remains separated from everything, and at the same time, it saturates everything. And in everything, you can find oil, because the essence is not captured by anything, but it is the essence of everything. So it's everywhere. Let's talk about the essence of God. You can't define it by anything, but at the same time, it is the substance of everything, because without the essence, nothing is. It's simple. So the fact that we have Hanukkah, the celebration of the oil, which means on the month of Kislev, somehow the essence comes to revelation. We're able, like this oil, that is, till now, the oil was always above, was not this Mashiach light, this Mashiach concept, this Mashiach truths of the divine essence that was never able to be tapped, yet through the masters of Hasidism, they gave words to the unwordable. They capture it. They're drawing the oil, and they're shining this oil. So Hanukkah and Yutes Kislev are the holidays of Kislev, because that's the whole point of Kislev. The whole point of Kislev is you have the moment of birth, which is an essential moment. And to be able to capture that and not let go of that, although we are moving into descriptions, we're able to keep the essence present even in the descriptions, and to always have that essence sensed, felt, and connected to. The Rebbe says that through the teachings of Chassidus, we can get to know the essence. Even though the essence is not within the range of knowledge, yet that's the magic of Chassidus, that the essence makes itself knowable as a preparation for Mashiach. Because in the days of Mashiach, it says, Ki kulam yadu oisi, everybody will know me. We will all know the essence. So now in chapter 10, the Rebbe says, this is very powerful. So based on the idea, now that we have a little bit, hopefully, of an understanding of what the novelty of Mashiach is, the revelation of God's essence, and the emergence of the essence of the Jewish people, fully tangible, fully in display for the entire world to see, for ourselves to see, and for the world to see, for us to know God and for God to know us, and for us to be known by the world. So once we know what that is, so now we need to talk about what's our preparation for that. Remember in the last class, in the last episode, we were learning that the Rebbe says that Mashiach is already revealed in the world. All we need to do now is go ahead and greet him. And we need to do all the work. The Rebbe spoke to the emissaries that we learned in the last class, where it says that, are you ready to greet Mashiach? There were like six classes on that. Over there, we learned that that our job today's days is to bring ourselves and the whole world to be ready to greet Mashiach. We know that all the revelation and all the content of the Messianic world, of Mashiach's world, is not something that happens later, but it's something that we create now. Today's days, we create Mashiach's world. We develop that reality. So therefore, as we get moments before the complete redemption, we need to do some type of a service that reflects this essence. So what is that? I was going to explain a little bit, what does that mean? So in addition to what has been mentioned many times, that in order to reveal or to bring about the general Mashiach, this is a theme we've been learning in the last two episodes, that in order to bring Mashiach, the general Mashiach, the collective Mashiach, the cosmic Mashiach, our work towards that end is to unplug the Mashiach that's inside of us. But when you reveal your own Mashiach spark, that helps uncover Mashiach in the world, the great Mashiach in the world. So he says, okay, so now we need to adjust that understanding. Here's a major novel idea, the Rebbe says, meaning that's based on this talk that we've never had before. Until now, when we spoke about the spark of Mashiach, we spoke about the level of the soul called Yechidah, the part of our soul that is so devoted to God, and God is its only obsession, to the point of complete self-sacrifice. It doesn't consider anything for itself. Very high, lofty level. There is no self here at all. My entire being is just to desire to be with you, God. We thought that is the highest level of soul. But we learned in this talk that that's not the essence. Because the essence of the soul is one with God. It's not seeking to attach. It just is. And in that sense, you're not seeking to do anything. In that sense, you're tuned in with God's essence that's everywhere and everything. There's no need even to run away from the physical. No reason to extract yourself from any kind of physical and material world or material. You can be with the essence of God while you're eating a cupcake, in the same way that you can be in the essence of God when you're in a deep meditative trance. Because the essence is the essence of everything. It's, however, that cognition and that reality. And there is just that deep content. right? That we've been talking about. So the Rebbe says, based on this that we're saying now, to reveal your Mashiach spark, we have to make a correction. It doesn't mean the fifth level of soul that's called Yechida, that's driven to with devotion, with exclusive devotion to God. We have to fix that and say that the spark of Mashiach is really beyond that. It's the essence of the soul, not the names of the soul, not the experiences of the essence, but the essence itself. Even deeper than the experience of the essence. If so, if this is true about every individual spark, how much more so when it comes to the collective soul of all souls, and we say Mashiach is the Yechida, is the highest level of soul in the world, the Rebbe says we have to make a correction. We have to correct it that it's not the Yechida, it's the essence that's beyond the name, even higher than the name of the soul, which is the Yechida. Now, it's amazing how the Rebbe never spoke this until after 40 years of his teaching. And he spoke on this subject, and he never spoke this. He never revealed that. The answer is because Mashiach had not been revealed before that. In the last 2 weeks, the Rebbe is saying that Mashiach has now been revealed in the world. So now the Rebbe can tell us things that we never knew about Mashiach. Because till now, Mashiach was still a mystery. But once Mashiach has been revealed, and what is that? The essence of the Jewish people. So now the Rebbe is revealing that. He's saying, so that's who Mashiach is. He is the core essence of souls, who is one with the essence of God, who brings us to our cognition of this essence. And therefore, he is the one who liberates and completely transforms every aspect in reality. There is nothing in the world that escapes Mashiach's fixing. Everything is liberated. Why? Because if you're tapping the essence of God, there is nothing in the world that's outside. Or is that, if you're dealing with God illumination, there are certain dark things in which God doesn't illuminate us. They're too dark. But the essence of God? What could exist outside of that? Nothing. So Mashiach now just opens up every being and every entity to that essence. And he says that's why, regarding Mashiach, it says this idea that Mashiach is even deeper than the Yechida. He's not a person who will awaken in every being a desire to selflessly devote yourself to God. That would be Yechida. Going past all personal interests. That would be amazing. Mashiach is much deeper than that. He says, this idea is hinted to in a verse in Psalms where God says in chapter 89, I have found David my servant. Matsasi David Avdi, I found David my servant. B'shem en kachi meshachtev, with my holy oil, I've anointed him. The emphasis over here is I have found. Finding, the Hebrew word for finding is from the word matsasi, which the word matsasi is related to the word matsoi. Matsoi means the right word. Matsoi means, in a sense, primordial existence. Matsoi means it is in existence. I have uncovered, God says, David, my servant, I have uncovered Mashiach, meaning I have revealed the very substance and the substance of reality. Even calling it substance, the Rebbe says, is already giving some definition. It's even prior to that substance. Mashiach is this the foundation of foundation, the underlying of all underlying. It's just that Matzasi means I've shown my light on it. I've exposed it, David, my servant, uncovering in the world this soul who is one who. What is a soul's job? A soul's being is to reveal God. But what does this soul reveal? This soul is of the essence of God, therefore revealing the essence of God in all of existence and in the world. Then God says, after I have found him, what happens next? I anoint him with my oil. See, the anointing with the holy oil, that anointing, that's already, now that the essence of God is revealed through Mashiach, so what do we do about it? Oh, if God is the essence of all reality, shouldn't everything in the world be completely selfless towards God? If he is the true substance of everything, shouldn't everything be in service of the true being? So it leads to a selfless devotion. So that's already an outcome. That's already the expression of it. Mashiach, however, is higher than when God is anointing him. The first thing God says is, I found him. Matzasi, I found him. Now I anoint him with oil, which the oil of Mashiach is the ability to bring everything in this world to a state of being anointed towards God, which means devoted towards God without any other considerations, full 1,000% devotion. But devotion is already an expression. It's a secondary thing. So what is the idea of the oil? The oil is to be able to take the essence of everything and make it permeate into the consciousness of everything. As we said before, the oil is taking the essence and bringing it out. And as oil saturates everything, to reveal itself in everything. What does it mean in our own service? In our own service, the fact that God finds the Mashiach and uncovers that in the world, immediately that has huge repercussions in each and every one of us. And what's the repercussions? Is that before you even before a person and you're even hot, in other words, you haven't reached the point yet of being able to declare, you haven't opened yourself up so deep to be able to declare this higher level consciousness that my life is only about supreme being who is creating me and making me and giving me everything I have, sustaining me every second, creating me ex nihilo. And as a result of that, before I can bring myself to that devotion, which is the yechida. Yechida means one track minded, singular devoted to only one thing. There's nothing else. I have no other considerations, only my source, only my creator. Prior to that, before that, I'm not there yet. I haven't opened that up in my consciousness, but I am cognitive of something deeper. And that what? That at the core of my being, lies the essence of my soul, which is one with the essence of God. And of course, that soul that is one with the essence of God is going to have any other business than godly business. Of course, if I would feel that dimension of my soul, and if I would be in tune with it, be conscious of it. In other words, if it will open itself up in my consciousness, I would be 24/7 only devoted towards no selfish interest, only self. So to what kind of service can I do? What kind of emanations of the divine can I do in this world? That's if I'm conscious of it. But I know before I'm conscious of it, there's still a fact. This is who I am. The fact is deeper than the consciousness. Maybe something is malfunctioning. Maybe that truth, that deeper truth, is not yet in full operation in my conscience because I have blockages from the unholiness. That's possible. But I do have already now, since Mashiach has already been revealed in the world, as the Rebbe is saying over here, I do have already right now, at the core of my being, I have the mental cognition that the essence of my soul, who I am, is that I am one with God. And I am really one with God. Therefore, I still got to work things out a little bit. I still got to push away some of the garbage that's on the top. I still have to purify a little bit, to push the things away, to allow this to come out. But I know that I have that. So when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I can think about is the essence of my soul being one with God. And I know inevitably it's going to come out because this is my essence. And I know that this level of existence has been unlocked. It has not been unlocked throughout all the generations, but now it is unlocked. The work will be to allow this essence to produce its oil, and that oil should saturate my consciousness, every part of my being, all the way into my physical body, that the physical external shell of my existence should reflect and express and give expression to the essence of my being that is that soul. It will start first in the highest levels of my consciousness and it will work its way out. But before even it starts to do that, I just have to be cognizant of the fact of who I am at the core of my soul. That's meditating on that when you wake up in the morning is the strongest, most Mashiach thing you can do. Revealing Mashiach in yourself. And when Mashiach reveals in itself, that will help him reveal the grand Mashiach in the world. But Be'ezrat Hashem, we will continue this with one more class. And then soon, tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem.